Good evening. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 through 34. Again, that is Matthew chapter 9, 32 through 34. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons.
Good to be here tonight. Appreciate everyone's presence, as always. As Mike suggested, we had a good afternoon. Dinapo was baptized into Christ, as he suggested, and he's just a very delightful individual. We appreciate, of course, the angels in heaven rejoice with the salvation of his soul. Let's do everything we can to encourage him going forward, and just a very unique. If you were here, he was baptized after services, and we still had a good little number here to witness that. And it was kind of confusing as I was trying to baptize him because I was struggling a little bit with his name. Surprise, surprise! And as I was trying to take his confession and say the normal, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son, he kept telling me his name. Because he knew I was struggling. So he kept saying, Dinapo. It was throwing me off. I was trying to make sure I did it right. Dinapo. Okay. Oh, boy. But anyway, one thing I wanted to point out, just very quickly, is as it came to me, we always rejoice with people obeying the gospel of Christ. But I want to give a shout out to Zach, because he works with him, of course, said, he's the contact. And again, the way it was told me is that Dinapo was searching for the truth. And someone on the job pointed him in Zach's direction. And so obviously Zach is living the life that people can see, and enough to know that when someone inquired about some information spiritually, religiously, they pointed him in his direction. And so great work, Zach. We appreciate that. Can you imagine if they would have pointed him in another direction? He perhaps would not be our brother in Christ today. And so that says a lot about Zach, and we commend him for that. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at this passage just a little bit here tonight. I'm going to try, as always on Sunday night, not to keep you very long, but Paul deals with some important things here. Primarily in chapter 4, he is dealing with the peace of God. And so I want to read with you verse 7. And really, we're starting at the end of the text. Verse 7 is the conclusion of this little short section. But Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And of course, peace is a wonderful thing. We all love peace. And there's nothing greater than the peace of God, the wonderful tranquility that we can have in Christ. It is peace that is only offered by God. You really can't attain it anywhere else. You can try, but you'll be unsuccessful. And all you have to do is ask Solomon about that. He tried to get this peace, this satisfaction through material things, but he realized he couldn't do it. He tried to get it through power and prestige that he had. He tried to get it through the entertaining himself, and he had all of the means to do a great job with that, but it still didn't give him the satisfaction, the peace of mind that he was looking for. And the point of it is, you just can't get this kind of peace from any other source but from God. And thank God it is to be found in Christ. But as we read this text, what we find is, if we want this peace that passeth all understanding in verse 7, we have to do some of the things that Paul talks about in the first 6 verses. And so let's look at that together for a few minutes tonight. Let's go back to verse 1, Philippians 4, and at verse 1, you notice that Paul begins with a therefore. And as you've often heard, a therefore always points to what has gone before. And what went before immediately at the end of chapter 3 is Paul is talking about our heavenly citizenship. Verse 20, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at verse 21, he says, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so Paul is emphasizing the time when we lay aside this flesh and blood body. And all of the pain and all of the problems, all of the struggles that we have in this earthly body, one day we're going to lay aside because this body will be transformed to be like the glorious body of Christ. And so he says, because of that, therefore, my beloved, whom I love and long for, and my joy and crown, he says, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. So here's the first key. If you want this peace that passeth all understanding, if you want this special degree of tranquility that only can come to those who are in Christ, you have to be steadfast. You have to stand firm. You cannot attain this peace by having a wishy-washy kind of Christianity, which in reality is not a Christianity at all. You have to be consistent in Christ. You have to pray consistently. You have to study your Bible consistently. You have to walk after the Spirit consistently. The Bible over and over reminds us of how important it is to be steadfast. In fact, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have some very similar language. And you're familiar with it, I'm sure. But notice, if you would, after Paul deals with the resurrection, that we are going to attain one of these days. He's dealing with much the same thing that he was dealing with or is dealing with in the book of Philippians. That one of these days we're going to be raised from the dead. And that's when our bodies are going to be transformed to be like the body of Christ. But he goes into much more detail about this throughout the chapter 1 Corinthians 15. And he concludes then, you notice at verse 58, he begins once more with a therefore. So he talks about the victory that we can have in Christ. And he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Stand firm. He's saying the same thing to the brethren at Corinth as he did the brethren in Philippi. Be steadfast. Listen, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It's the only way you can assure that your labor will not be in vain. And it's the only way you can have this peace under consideration in Philippians 4 at verse 7. You have to be steadfast. Immovable. The devil is going to do everything he can to cause you to be inconsistent. He wants you to be inconsistent in your assembling. He wants to be you to be inconsistent in your prayer life. In every way, he wants you to be inconsistent. But if you stand firm every day, you make up in your mind, every day, every week, every month that goes by, you're going to consistently live the life God wants you to live. That's when you experience this peace. But you have to stand firm. And then you notice at verse 2. He says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, whoever that was, we don't know, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose name are in the book of life. And so here's the second thing. If you want this peace, you have to have peace in harmony with your brethren in Christ. That's very important. Most people have experienced at one time or another some kind of issue, some kind of problem in Christ, and it's very hard to have peace with God, the peace of God, while you're going through that sort of thing. Like, these obviously are two faithful sisters in Christ. They labored with Paul side by side. They were important to the work at Philippi. We don't know exactly what they did, but they were faithful, active members, obviously. But they were feuding. For whatever reason, they got into a situation where they weren't getting along. And so Paul addresses that because he knows that that will ruin the peace. Not only the peace that they have, but if that spreads, it can destroy peace even in the local congregation. And when you're attending a congregation that's not at peace, there's no way you're going to have that ultimate peace from God. And so we have to strive as individual Christians to get along one with another, to be of the same mind, to be on the same page spiritually. And when any problems arise, then, of course, we take care of it and we move on. And we continue to have this peace, to have the unity of mind. And so that's one of the things that's necessary. Another thing that's necessary to have this peace. And then he goes on at verse 4, here's another thing. He says at verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And you notice how Paul frames this, that this is a choice. Like, if this was just something that you could only experience because of the circumstances of your life, then he wouldn't direct them to have this. This is really an apostolic command. He is telling them, rejoice. And it was so important that he said it twice. And he says, do it always. I mean, every day you have to rejoice in the Lord. And you do that by remembering all of the blessings that you have in Christ. Like, if you just sit back and you think about where you are spiritually, you think about the relationship you have with God, specifically because of His grace and mercy, and that all your sins have been washed away, that you have the hope of heaven and all the other many spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. If you just remember those things, you'll be able to rejoice every day. Doesn't matter how many bills you have to pay. Doesn't matter how many hours you have to work on the job. It doesn't matter how your physical life is going for you. Our physical life doesn't always go our way. There's ups and downs. There's trials and tribulations in life. But still, we can follow the words of Paul and we can rejoice every day. We can rejoice always in the Lord because it's based on our spiritual circumstances, not our physical circumstances. And if you don't understand that and you get bogged down with the things of this world, whenever you're struggling and having trouble, you're not going to have the tranquility, the peace that God offers you. And so we have to learn to rejoice, and again, to do so consistently, to rejoice in the Lord always. Then here's another one. In verse 5, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. William Barclay, on his study on this text, he says that the Greek word here is untranslatable. And you see that sort of with the many different translations that people have. There sometimes in some translations this is translated gentleness. In another, it's translated moderation. In another, patience. In another, softness. In another, forbearance. But we're told that the Greek word here points to a loftiness of spirit that enables one to bear trouble calmly and to display a noble generosity. I like how another commentary put it. It said, it's a characteristic that controls our capacity for rage and activates our capacity to love and be patient. Gentleness. That is what we need to have. If you want to have peace, you can't go through life filled with bitterness. You can't have an angry or even a harsh kind of mentality or characteristic. You have to get along with people. You have to be kind and caring. You have to be generous to other people. You have to have a gentle character. And that's important. For without that, if you have this attitude of rage, if you have this attitude or mentality of meanness, if you're harsh constantly dealing with other people, that's just not going to bring you the peace that Paul is referring to in verse 7. You have to have gentleness. And then he says, the Lord is at hand. Now, a lot of times when you read that statement, it is referring to the second coming of Christ. But that's not what this is talking about here. Or it's referring to Christ coming in some capacity. But here it is simply talking about nearness. Why is it that we can have this peace and we can have it consistently and regularly? It's because we understand, or we should understand, that the Lord is always near. The Lord is at hand. No matter what you're going through, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. It might bring pleasure or it might bring pain. We just don't know, do we? But one thing we can be sure about, we won't have to travel the road tomorrow all by ourselves. The Lord is with us. And he's with us every day. It's what gave the apostles boldness and courage to stand for the truth. They knew they weren't alone. Jesus told them to go out, you remember, in the Great Commission, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, I will be with you always to the end of the age. And that gave them confidence. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is with us every day. You're on the job. Every day you go out to school. Wherever you go, wherever you may be, the Lord is with you. And when you realize that, it can help you to have, on a regular basis, this kind of tranquility and peace that Paul talks about in verse 7. And then, a couple of more things, just quickly, at verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything. And he tells, don't worry all the time. And there's people in the world that are just filled, just overwhelmed with worry. And I'm afraid sometimes that sneaks into the body of Christ. And there are some Christians sometimes that just allow themselves to get overwhelmed with life and the difficulties of life. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't be anxious. And he tells us how to solve that in this second thing in verse 6. He tells us basically we need to replace anxiety with prayer. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Here is a major component to this peace. Have a strong prayer life. You know the Lord is near. You know a little something about the providential care of God from your studies of other passages in the Bible. Take advantage of God being with you. Understand that He is a God who hears. Make a habit of praying. Pray every day, Paul said in one place. Pray without ceasing. And the stronger your prayer life is, the more often you pray and pray passionately and pray with faith, the more peace that you will have. And so we find then when we get to verse 7, yes, the peace of God surpasses all understanding and will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's a promise, ladies and gentlemen. But promises in the Bible are often conditional. And if you want that promise of verse 7, you want this peace that can guard your heart and mind, this peace that passeth all understanding, something that most people in this world are looking for. If you want it, you have to apply the first 6 verses to your life. As we summarize that, stand fast and have peace with brethren. That's important. Rejoice and be gentle. Remember that the Lord is near, and then keep on praying. The end result of all of that is a peace that passeth all understanding. I hope that we'll all experience that. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. If you're outside the body of Christ, as I said in the very beginning, you cannot have this peace. It's just not out there for you. You might can experience some satisfaction temporarily, but that's all it is, just temporary. If you want a peace that passeth all understanding, it comes from God. You need to be in a relationship with Him, and the only way you can do that is by obeying the gospel of Christ. The good news is you can do that tonight. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 at verse 16, it's just as easy as that. Obey the gospel of Christ. Become a child of God, and God will be with you, and He'll give you peace. You'll have not only this tranquility, but you'll have peace with God. You'll go from being an enemy of God to a friend of God. You'll go from being an opponent to God to being on God's side. All you have to do is obey the gospel. Why not do that tonight? If you're a child of God and maybe you haven't been living the way Paul talked about in the first 6 verses there of Philippians chapter 4, do something about that. Repent and pray God. Acts 8 at verse 22. If you need to come forward, do whatever you have to do. We'll pray for you and encourage you. But get right. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.